Hi guys, welcome to the Beauty Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Candace Claiborne, and it's time to take your steps to developing your inner beauty. You no longer have to feel invisible because you are seen and you're known by God. So let's get to the heart of your habits, your insecurities, so that you can be refreshed and you can begin to leave your beauty mark on the world. Today's episode is going to be filled with some amazing gems, truth, some vulnerable moments between my mother and I as we discuss motherhood, her personal story, and really how we've begun to cultivate a relationship as mother-daughter. And so it's going to be fantastic. I must let you know that in the beginning of the podcast, you'll hear a little bit of distortion from time to time because of the recording, but please bear with us and listen as best as you can. And I can't wait for you guys to listen up. So go ahead and we'll get started. Alrighty. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. As you heard, I have my mother, Carol Robinson, on with me today. And it's actually been a while since she's been on. Our last podcast episode that we did together was all about confidence and insecurity and, you know, just her experience growing up and how it was very similar to mine in terms of a lot of the struggles that we had facing body image and personal confidence and things like that. So if you want to listen to that episode, then please go ahead and check that one out. I'll put a link to it in the show notes so you guys can see that. But today we are coming up on the holiday of Mother's Day. And so I thought it would be really neat and just significant to do an episode with her all about mothering, and really just talking about where we have arrived, so to speak, in terms of our relationship together as mother-daughter, and also just furthering that relationship as she grandmothers my children. And so we just have some questions that we're going to go through today, and then really just want to hear her heart on motherhood and things that God has really been showing and revealing to her over the years. So without further ado, welcome mommy to the Beauty Revealed podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about your introduction to motherhood, if you will. For those of you guys who don't know, I have three older sisters. I am the youngest. We are all 5 years apart. Each of us 5 years apart. And one set of sisters are twins. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your introduction into motherhood and how, you know, your whole experience kind of got started and just your flow? Because we have a little bit of an interesting twist as it pertains to having three older sisters. Like, how did that even happen? So go ahead.
Absolutely. Give us a rundown. Absolutely. When I found out that I was pregnant, my doctor said to me, he said, "I've got good news and bad news." And, you know, as a very young adult, it was like, okay, what is this? What does this all mean? At that point, I had an awesome OBGYN when I was living in Canada, Dr. Padmore, and he said, "Well, you're going to have twins." Of course, I news. He said, "You're going to have twins," and I said, "What's the bad news?" And he said, "That means that you're going to have to stop working earlier, because there's always a possibility of miscarriaging with twins. So you're going to have to start your disability earlier." So for me, that was, it was a happy, scary time. You know, at that time when I found out I was having twins, and only to find out, you know, when I mentioned it to my mother, and she said, you know, it's not a surprise because I didn't recognize how many twins were in the family. My dad also died when I was very young. I was 3 years old. So I didn't know a whole lot about him, but at that point, my mom mentioned that my dad was a twin. I also have twin siblings, so but I didn't know that that would be my lot. So that was my introduction to motherhood. Having twins, believe it or not, was not as challenging as I thought. Now, it was around the clock, mothering, I, especially with nursing and breastfeeding. I would nurse one, put the other one down, take the other one up to nurse, and put the other one down. And I felt I was nursing the whole entire day. Yeah. Then my mom mentioned to me, she said, no, nurse both of them at the same time. Get them on the same schedule, which meant that I had to sit down. I remember this real comfy chair that we had in the apartment, and it had super big arms, and I would just put them on the arms and in the football position. And this is time consuming. The first, you know, part before they become toddlers is very time consuming. So a lot of time and energy was put in. Looking back, I am grateful that I had my mother there for me, with me, to help me through this portion of you know, raising twins, at least for the early stage.
You shared a lot of really good, and this is even really good for me because there are aspects of your experience that we've never really talked about in detail. I've known just by, you know, just in passing, and hearing stories and things like that. But the fact that your mom, my grandmother, was able to give you that insight, even regarding nursing, those are very significant changes and things that can impact our experiences. And, you know, depending on when you guys are listening to this, there was just about a week ago was maternal, Black maternal health awareness. And there's just a continuous awareness out there about motherhood, about nursing, about maternal health, things like that. And a lot of signs and ways that we need to care for ourselves, or advice on lactation consulting, things like that. If they're not coming to you from a family member, or you don't have access to proper, you know, support like a doula or a lactation consultant, it can be really difficult. And especially in the African American community, Caribbean community, biopic community, what have you, it can be very challenging sometimes to have that type of support. So I know that a lot of our listeners come from different places, different cultures, and even in their experience with their mothers, some of our listeners, you know, have grown up with their moms, some haven't. Some have had mothers in their life who were amazing moms, but who have since transitioned and passed on. And so some don't have relationship with their mothers at all anymore. You know, they're very distant, or they've chosen to really limit relationship due to a level of toxicity or trauma, so many different varieties. And so, and some are single mothers. And it's funny because although you were not a single mother, I just want you to kind of share a little bit of insight into your experience. You were with my grandmother and you had her help, but my dad wasn't physically present at that time.
Right.
And also, you know, you guys were not married at that time either. And so I know some of our listeners as well are experiencing that right now, whether they have recently had children or are about to have kids, and maybe they're not married, but they're in a committed relationship or what have you, or they're not living nearby their significant other, their children's father. So what was that aspect like for you?
And yes, you touched on a few things that just as I was listening, just, you know, bring the ha-ha moment for me. And one of it, when you talk about who was present. And one thing that I remember specifically with regards to nursing, my girls, the twins, had preference on a particular breast, right? And one was the stronger suction, right? And I would try to switch them so that I would have balance in terms of my milk production and my milk distribution. So what I would find, even though they're both nursing at the same time, one required way more, which means that production goes down faster. Mm-hmm. I ended up with being engorged in one breast. And I would try to switch them. And whatever I do, she would not suck from her sister's breasts. Not for the love of money or anything. So my mom noticed that. And she told me, again, you know, there are lots of stuff in books. And I'm grateful for forums like this. But my mom showed me how to express that breast. This was before you had breast pumps and you could do all of that. But even if you're in a situation and you've got that breast pump sometime, my mom just showed me how to go in the shower, how to run the hot water. And she had me have a comb, a plastic comb, and to comb my breast, massage my breast with these comb, which would be like little fingers, and express that milk, you know, just to massage that lump, the hard lump that sometimes comes within your breast tissues at that time. And I know from that experience, Candace, even though you had a doula, mm-hmm. and even though you had books, and you thought you knew how to breastfeed wisdom, even with a lactation nurse, something that our breasts, mm-hmm. are different in terms of the area. We've got to get more into that baby's mouth. And I thought I was going to choke the babies initially. And my mom stood there with me and she took my breasts in that beginning. And she took my breasts and she pushed in the baby's mouth. And it's funny because I did the same thing to you, mm-hmm. which, you know, I joke and, as a kid.
And by the way, I nursed all three of our children until about 6 to 9 months of age. And, uh-huh. you know, my mom was there helping me. And combing the breast, the tenderness. I even had mastitis with mm-hmm. wisdom. And so mm-hmm. that was really, really challenging, and sorting out, you know, pumping, and at one point transitioning to formula for a little while. And that was a whole nother situation. And, you know, being surprised at having such painful contractions and cramping mm-hmm. during my first kind of breastfeeding moment. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
You know, we had some conflict, and we'll mm-hmm. get into this a little bit later. I posted actually a Instagram post about my experience so far with our daughter and, you know, conflict and learning how to really connect with her. And it's funny because my mom is actually the one who gave me a little bit of this insight. Our daughter's middle name is Rose. And so being an observer of, you know, having seen a child like this in me, you know, you told me that, hey, like a rose is beautiful, but along mm-hmm. with roses also come with thorns at times. Mm-hmm. And so just learning how to connect. And so all that to mm-hmm. say, she really has been, you know, super helpful, but we have had areas of conflict that we've had to grow from. Absolutely. And I think we're stronger, we're more mature, we're more connected even through it. So
absolutely. But you brought up a point, and just to backtrack, when you talk about raising kids and single, and at mm-hmm. that time, my husband and I, we weren't husband and wife then, but the kid's father, we were living in two different countries. I was in Canada at that point, and he was still in Jamaica. And as a matter of fact, the day I went into labor, he should have been there. but he was standing in as my brother's best man in Jamaica. So he was not even there. My mother was not there because she was also at my brother's wedding. I was dropped off at the hospital by one of my other brother, my older brother. So I did not even have anybody at the hospital with me for my first experience as a mom. So, you know, that was also a challenging time for me. Looking back at it, I realized, but that was my norm at that time. So I didn't think about it. But again, raising my kids at that time, while my dear dad was in a different country, we were engaged to be married, but we were sorting out logistics as we were going to live. But I will say my mom was there for me. I was also grateful that I was in a country that recognized maternity leave. And a maternity leave is an extended maternity leave. So I did not feel that I had to rush to get back to work because the maternity benefits were available for me to raise my girls.
Yeah, that's good. And even for those who are experiencing, you know, you may be pregnant right now, or you had a baby last year like I did during this pandemic. You know, the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and you're limited with who can come with you into the hospital. You know, you may not have that additional support that you might have envisioned. And so that makes a big difference. So thank you to our frontline workers and people who are there, because we had really great nurses, all three deliveries. And they, you know, they really stand in for you. If they're great nurses,
then they can be. And that's true. And that's true, because I think for me, that's where I didn't feel like I missed the bedside of family. And one of the things that I remembered, that I had a roommate at that time, and she, I knew nothing about postpartum depression or blues, but she gave birth and she cried every day. Minutes after, she would just cry. The minute the baby was brought to her, she's crying the minute the baby. And I was like, why are you crying when the baby comes and then you cry when the baby leaves? And I had no knowledge of anything like that. And,
wow.
And so, you know, that was an experience to look at and see that that happens to women. And she just had to, she had to deal with that by herself in that place. And, you know, I just look back at it and I think about the fact that now that I'm aware of that, was she even aware of that? The nurses just kept telling her, you're okay, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. But that's what happens at times in motherhood, that those things happen and they're real. And it's not something to be ashamed of, but it's something to make mention to your providers of care so that they can help you, because you might not even recognize what's going on, you know. So, I mean, I cried for a minute, but I was just sad that I didn't have my family there with me. But her sadness was not related to that, because she did have visitors. It was not. So it was postpartum.
Yeah, no, that's real. That's real. And again, that's why having spaces like this and connecting with others and having those conversations. I mean, I had a chat, this is a side note, a really great group of moms that I'm in close relationship with. And one mom, we were talking about the kids falling off the bed when they were infants. And in this particular occasion, the mom mentioned, she was like, oh yeah, baby kind of had a little bump or something and was very surfacey. And I said, girl, that baby fell off the bed. You know, like, you know, I was like, oh, don't be ashamed. That happened to all three of our children. And I tried, and I told her just how embarrassed I felt and how I think I had only told you and a sister and obviously my husband, but even that process of telling Tommy that, like, the baby rolled off the bed, you know, and the doctor and all that. And so she was like, well, since you're saying it, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, she rolled off. She did, you know, it wasn't like she just had a bump, like she rolled off the bed. So all that to say is community is really important as well. And so to this point, because I'm realizing that there's so much great insight and good things to talk about, we're going to make this a two-part. So if you're listening, keep listening and then go to the next episode as well. So thank you again for being my guest today. And guys, love you all so much. Be sure to continue to listen in and follow online at thebeautyreveal.com and follow on Instagram at thebeautyreveal_. This was a pleasure hosting today's episode. And remember that your beauty is being revealed. We want to help you leave your beauty mark so that you can really do what God has designed for you to do in this world. So have a great day and be sure to listen to the next podcast episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Guys, I don't know about you, but I get so tripped up sometimes through the process of planning, preparing, strategizing, and thinking. I mean, do you ever just get super paralyzed or stuck in the pause, if you will, when you are getting ready to launch something or to go on a trip or just getting things done around the house? There are some of you who thrive in that process of planning and strategizing and thinking. And there are others of you who are maybe a little bit more like myself. When you find yourself in that moment, it's almost like you just get so full of thoughts and questions and ideas. And because you may not have all of the answers in that moment, you're fearful of moving forward with anything at all. But truthfully, that's really the worst place to be, unless it's an intentional place to be and it has a set time to end. And I want to encourage you today, if you are in that place, and even if you are a thinker and a strategizer, we all have to come to an understanding of the law of inertia. Have you heard of this? Many of you might have. And for those who haven't, it's simply a scientific law that somewhat says, and I'm paraphrasing here, that an object that is still will remain still unless something comes along and moves it. And an object that's in motion will remain in motion unless something comes along and stops it. So if you are in a place of a pause, but it's not a healthy pause and it's not intentional, you're more like frozen, then I want to encourage you today to get moving. Just start. Just start. And I am preaching to myself because there are times and there are moments where I just don't know what to do next, you know, and we just have to start with one thing. So if you are in a place where you want to better yourself intellectually, then download that audiobook. Jump on your local library's digital library online, the apps. I don't know about you guys, but I use Hoopla, which is available through my library system. There's Amazon Books, there's Audible, so many. Download a podcast. You're already listening to mine. I'm sure there are other podcasts that resonate with you as well. Or literally just choose to watch something that's going to feed your mind and your soul, whether it's a YouTube video or a documentary on Netflix. Something. Just start. If you are in a place where you want to become healthier and strengthening your body, then choose to just do a 10-minute workout start with just a 10-minute workout or a walk. And again, I am not an expert in any of these things. These are all areas that I'm personally working on. But my encouragement to you is to just start, to simply move. And that is a huge, huge part of the process when you are going through a sense of your beauty being revealed. It's a peeling away. It's a pulling back of the layers. And to jump back to the area of health and wellness, you know, I am a huge fan of Dr. Caroline Leaf. And if you have not heard of her, go check her out. She has a podcast, she has books, she has videos, but she talks heavily upon the subject of the mind and the way that God has really designed our minds to change and to be renewed both physically and spiritually. And I recently listened to her audiobook, 101 Ways to Reduce Stress, and it was fantastic. A simple read and great little tips in there. So just start, find something that you can listen into. And when it comes to health and wellness, I'm realizing that it's not enough to do the exercise or to buy the immunity drink or to, you know, choose a healthy option when you're at the restaurant or in the drive-thru. It's important to also understand how it affects your body, because when we have a deeper understanding of how our bodies even work, it makes us all the more enthusiastic to do the things that's going to keep us healthy. Quick story time. I remember when we were ready to start trying again for our third child, and I was able to get back in the gym again and, you know, was wanting to make sure I kept my body healthy and strong. And I was in the middle of doing some, it was either crunches or some sit-ups, and I was just going through the reps and I was so tired and I felt really weak at one point. I had had two C-sections by this time. I felt really, really weak. And I remember saying to myself and saying aloud, I need this body to be strong. Candace, keep going so that your body can be strong. This womb, these abdominal muscles are to be strengthened so that you can carry life within you again. And I just remember thinking about wanting to be healthy and wanting to be able to have a healthy pregnancy whenever we were able to get pregnant again, and wanting to be around with my children and with our grandchildren and all of these things. I started to think ahead and not just about getting fit, but what the purpose of my body was going to be used for. And sure enough, that summer we got pregnant with our third and last child. And it's important to think about your deeper why. So whatever it is that you're in, if it's a project, if it's an idea, just get started. Just start. Just move. Do something to get you going. Get in line with that law of inertia. And even in the mornings, and this is hard for me at times, but even in the mornings, when you are laying in bed and you just want to roll over, you just want to hit that snooze, you don't want to get up, remember that as soon as you open your eyes and as soon as you literally physically move and sit up and put your feet down on the ground, that you have already started the law of inertia. You've already started the motion to get you going. So I pray and hope that this just little short encouragement inspires you to get started. With your beauty being revealed, you go through the process of establishing your core four. You look at your identity and who you are and who God has made you to be. You think about the things in your life that you lay as a foundation, be it spiritual foundations or intellectual things that you're learning and growing with. But the things that are going to hold you strong, your values. You consider your eyes and your perspective, the way you see the world and see yourself and see others. You consider your words, the words you say to yourself and the words you say to others and the power that they hold. And you walk with confidence and you develop your character so that your beauty can truly be revealed, because it's inside of you. So I want to encourage you today, if you feel stuck, if you thought you were pausing, but you really stopped, to just get started. Move. Go. One thing. One moment. That's it. I say this to my kids all the time, for them and for myself. One mommy, one thing at a time. So whether you're a mom or not, or a desired mom, or a man listening and that reference doesn't, resonate with you, just start one thing at a time. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to leave a review, share it, and God bless you. Let's go.